Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Thank you all for being here today on this holiday weekend, and thank you to you, those watching online, for being here and joining us. We're so grateful for your presence and your participation here today. We are following the monthly theme, Light Within the Shadows. And I heard a story about a woman on a plane, and she was reading her Bible. And the guy next to her said, leaned over and he said, "You don't believe that stuff, do you?" And she said, "Of course I do. It's the Bible." And he said, "Yeah, but what about that story of the guy in the whale?" And she said, "Oh, you mean Jonah? Yeah, I believe that." And he said, "How is it possible that somebody can be in a whale that long?" And she thought for a moment and she said, "I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him." And this guy says, "Yeah, what if he's not in heaven?" She said, "Well, then you'll have to ask him." So that story had nothing to do with anything, but I didn't know where else to put it. So our theme, as I said, the monthly theme is Light Within the Shadows, and we're looking at bringing in understanding the shadow, understanding that that side of us, and not being afraid of it, knowing that there's a shadow side, there's a light side of us, and that it's all in balance together, and it all works together for good. And they work together in synergy. And so today's talk is Lights, Camera, Action. And we are all actors in our own personal movie. Isn't that exciting? I bet you didn't realize that. But we all show up, and we are performing our lives. We are acting out our lives. And so what does your story tell about you? What story are you communicating about your life? Is it one of mystery and intrigue? Do some days you feel like James Bond tackling one problem after another? Or is it full of conflict and betrayal, difficulty with relationships? Do you feel more like you're on the Survivor TV show, reality show? Is your life a comedy? Do you feel like it's something, do you feel like you're in an I Love Lucy episode? So we are all portraying ourselves out in the world. And how do we want to do that? How do we bring ourselves to the world? And what is the story that we're telling? We all tell a story. Do you ever notice when you're talking to someone and you're repeating something that happened? Maybe it happened a long time ago, but you're still telling the same story. Or you've heard someone do this. They're telling the same story. I remember this with my dad one time. He was telling me about how he was fishing with his brother, and his brother said something, and this happened, and that happened. I said, "Oh my gosh, Dad, when did that happen?" He said, "Oh, 1978. And it was like he was still hanging on to that. For years, he was still hanging on to that energy. So as we pay attention to this story, we pay attention to what we are expressing in the world and what we're sharing in the world. Not everyone is forthcoming, that some people withdraw. They are more timid around expressing themselves, or maybe just not ready to speak out, so they hold that within. And the purpose isn't to ask you to change your story, but to be aware of what are you communicating about your life. What's happening and what are you communicating? What are you believing about your life? So this is not about spiritual bypass. We're paying attention to what's going on. What's going on with me? And if there's an issue, then that's when you go to your practitioner. If you want more information about spiritual growth, that's when you take a class. So you pay attention to what's going on so we can take action. And so here's a tip that, here's something that we don't, no one really tells us, but we can't do this work alone. It's really important to have someone that you can connect with. And that's why our practitioners are trained. They are go through 3-4 years of training in order to be present, in order to be licensed, to hold the high watch for you, to hold that light for you, to be able to listen to what's going on and to know the highest truth for you. And so when you are having a challenge, to reach out, whether it's to a practitioner or a counselor or whoever you are working with, but to reach out and talk to someone. Because if we're left on our own, what happens is we do a downward spiral, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? We start thinking about that, whatever the issue is, and then we start thinking more about it, and it gets worse and worse. Nothing's happened out here. But it gets in our minds, it gets worse and worse. And the truth is, the body doesn't know the difference whether you're in a cave or a car. It doesn't know the difference because it's just listening to what it is you're saying, and all those emotions become real. So, who's the director of your story? Who? Yes, yes. Okay, we know who Katie's director is. But more subtly, is it the old belief systems from the past, or do you invite spirit to come in? So who are you allowing to direct you every day? And that's, we have a choice every day. Who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to those old belief systems from the past, or do I have an intention to listen to that still small voice of spirit? We always have a choice. And what do you want in your life? What do you want your story to tell? Maybe you like the way your life is right now. Maybe you're satisfied and you're happy. If you're not, what is it that you want? What do you want to have? Maybe it's more love in your life. Maybe it's better health. Maybe better relationships. Whatever it is, have that intention. So I was back east last week visiting my family, and my nephew has a new dog. The dog's about 1 year old, and it's part lab and part husky. So right there, there's not a moment of peace, right? All she wants to do is play. And she shows up with a toy in her mouth, raring to go. All she wants to do is play. And it was so much fun. We had such a blast. And I realized I want more joy in my life. I want that feeling. Now, that doesn't mean I have to go out and get a dog. It's like, but when you have the intention, then you allow spirit to fill it for you. But have the intention. What do I want to have? Do you wake up with the intention to recognize more love? Do you wake up with the intention to have more peace or to be more present? So every day we have a new opportunity to wake up and speak our truth. What is our truth? What do we want? What do we want to have realized? we also have the opportunity to, what do I have to do to have more peace? Maybe there's an issue that I have to deal with, that I know what my work is, and then I go to my work, my spiritual practices, meditation and journaling and reading, and work with those to change those, to shift that. Do you pray for yourself each day? I'm amazed how many people don't say a prayer for themselves. It's very simple, and we get caught up that it's complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. So begin with setting an intention today. So let's say, today I'm surrounded with love and light. Can you say that with me? Today I'm surrounded with love and light. Does that sound like a good one? Let's say that again. Today I am surrounded with love and light. That's a great intention to have. And so how are we going to move through the day? I move through my day with ease and grace. I move through my day with ease and grace. So every time, so as we wake up, instead of being caught up in what's going on in the world, which there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, instead of being caught up in that, is we get to claim it. We get to have that connection with Spirit and claim that for ourselves. And prayer doesn't have to be complicated. I think as simplistic as our five-step treatment prayer is, that somehow we get in our heads and make it more complicated. Anybody relate to that? Thank you. So we make it more complicated. It's very simple. When I used to teach Sunday school, we had one. I wasn't going to show you this, but here's what we did. I don't know if they still do this or not, but there's only one life. Can you do this? Hold up your thumb. There's only one life. This life is good. Okay, wait a minute. How did that go? Oh, okay. That's another one we're going to do in a minute. Okay, there's only one life. I am one with this life. So now we've connected. And then the third one is what we claim for ourselves. So I know that I am love.
I know that I am love.
So you don't have to repeat this. There's only one life. I am one with this life. I know that I am love. And then the fourth one is I'm grateful for this.
I'm grateful for this.
And the fifth one is putting it all together, and I release it and set it free. So there you have a reminder of the five steps. It's as simple as that. That's the other one. There's only one life. I am one with that life. I forgot what I said. Whatever you want to say here. I am grateful for God's good.
I release this
and set it free. So it's a way for us to remind ourselves of speaking our truth from the minute we wake up, because it makes such a difference for us. I love this quote from Emma Curtis Hopkins. She says, "Do we believe power operates through all things? Yes. Do we believe that power can be understood by us? If we can honestly answer that we do believe that an omnipotent power can be understood, do we believe it is worth our while to give all of our mind and all of our strength and all of our life to finding out how to deal with it?" Like, doesn't that make sense? If we believe there's a power for good, wouldn't it make sense that I'm going to spend my thoughts, my mind, my life being aware of it and how to use it? How do I use it for my good? And what it takes is discipline. It takes a commitment that I am willing. It takes a commitment that I'm willing. I'm willing to commit to my spiritual practice. I'm willing to commit to my higher good. So if we want to tell a new story, we have to have a new script. It takes dedication and discipline to release those old beliefs and to embrace our practices. And every time we do, we are creating something new in our life. So I was reminded of the story of Myrtle Fillmore. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore are the founders of Unity. And Myrtle was very sick from tuberculosis and malaria. This is back in 1886. And Charles had bankrupt them with his investments in mining and real estate. So they had very little money. She was so weak that she wasn't capable of taking care of her children. Her aged mother-in-law moved in and to help take care of the family. And so one evening, she went to see a visiting healer. She did this a variety of ways to find if she could just find a cure for what she was dealing with. For all these years, she was dealing with this, if she could just find a cure. And so sure enough, she went to listen to Dr. E.B. Weeks. And E.B. Weeks just happened to be a student of Emma Curtis Hopkins. Emma, and if you know, many of you know, Emma was the profound and popular teacher back then of New Thought, of healing. And so he said something that would change her life forever. He said, "I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. I'm a child of God, and I do not inherit sickness." And something clicked in her immediately. And she went home. She felt something in that moment. And she started feeling healing happening in that moment. And she went home and she spent intense time in meditation and prayer and repeating this simple sentence: "I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness." And so she was eventually cured of her sickness. And now Charles watched all this. He was agnostic. And he watched all this and he followed in her footsteps. And he had his own challenges. He was invalid since he was a small boy. He had fallen on the ice and dislocated his hip, and he was lame. And the injured leg was shorter than the other leg. And so his hip was frozen in place and he was in constant pain. And he followed her lead, and he began to use these practices and affirmations. And he set himself up to do this work, and he began to see results. They became students of Emma, along with Ernest and many other teachers that ended up being teachers at the time. And they found their own application of principle through New Thought methods. And then together, as you know, they created Unity School of Christianity. So they had a story that they were telling. They were both very sick. They were both in not having the results that they wanted, but they turned their story around and did the work. By going from "I am sick" to "I am a child of God and I do not inherit sickness." So in Myrtle's book, How to Let God Help You, she says, "Everything in God's world is working toward perfection. The restoring power of God is the midst of you, is working quickly and harmoniously to build cells and substance that will knit together whatever place needs rebuilding." So whatever the issue is going on in your life, whatever the thing is that you would like to see changed, you have that opportunity to do that. So there's three steps to changing your story. And the first one is to take responsibility. We take responsibility for what's going on right now. Whenever there's anything disturbing or disappointing that occurs in our lives, we take responsibility for it. And the responsibility means the ability to respond. But when we take responsibility for it, we can change it. When we don't, we become the victim. So until we begin to take full responsibility, we are not able to change it because somebody else is in power. Somebody else is in control. So the law of responsibility is whatever you take responsibility for, you can change. So when an upset occurs in our lives, it's important for us not to blame anyone, but to say, I'm responsible for this experience, and then bless the other party. Now, sometimes there's situations going on in our lives that we have no idea how they happened. And so it's not to blame ourselves either. It's not to blame ourselves or make ourselves wrong. That we're put in positions, but if we're willing to learn something new from them, every opportunity is an opportunity to learn something new. So the second step is forgiveness. The thought of taking responsibility can seem unpleasant and overwhelming. But if we have forgiveness, it's the forgiveness for ourselves, forgiveness for anyone else that may have done anything. Responsibility is not blaming anyone. It's just saying, this is the condition that I have right now, and I'm willing to work with it. I'm willing to see something greater in it. And the third step is gratitude. And every opportunity that we have to be in gratitude is an opportunity to shift awareness, to shift consciousness. Do you wake up thinking about what you're grateful for? It makes all the difference in how the day goes. The law of gratitude states what you are grateful for will increase. And have you noticed that? Whatever you're grateful for increases. Whatever you give thanks for increases. Now, the alternative of that is true. Whatever I think about increases. Whatever I complain about increases. Have you noticed that? The law works for both sides. It's whatever you put your attention on increases. But whatever you're grateful for will increase. So to make that part of your daily practice, that what am I grateful for today? And it can be the simplest thing, that the sun is shining, that you get to see your friends today, that my hands are working today, that my hip's not hurting, or whatever it is that's going on, that those are the things that we're grateful for if we can find that. And no matter what's happening, to take that moment and give thanks for it. It's one of the most simplest practices that brings us to God. That very often in our teaching, I remember when I was new in the teaching, I had a very intellectual understanding of science of mind. As soon as I found the church, I started volunteering, and I was the class registrar. So I was the class registrar, and I sat through every class. I took science of mind, they used to call it science of mind one, first year. I took that class 3 times. Because I was in the class, and I had a very intellectual understanding of it. But I didn't have a practical way of using it. It was all an understanding in here. How do I use that? It took me years because I didn't give it energy. It's like, oh, there's nice principles. They're very nice, and they're very understandable. And I'm glad, you know, we're all in agreement about them, right? We're all in agreement, but I don't know how to use them. I didn't use them. It took me years of suffering before I began to use them and apply them to my life. And so we can have an intellectual understanding, we need to have that to start with, but that's in the head. But what we want is to move that to the heart. And where we move that with is gratitude. Gratitude will take us there the fastest when we're able to move into that place of gratitude. Ernest Holmes says, no matter what the outside appearance, we must cling steadfastly to the knowledge that God is good, God is all, underneath, above, and round about. That wherever we are, we know that God is good. We know that there is good for us. Remember Emma's phrase, there is good for us and we ought to have it. Yes, yes. So we are all here, not by accident. Our souls all came here by choice. We wanted to be here right now at this time in this place to have this experience because we are all working together for a greater good. And every time any one of us makes a shift, greater awareness, forgiveness, more love, more light, we make that shift. We expand that vibration. We raise that vibration. We're raising it for the planet. It feels like sometimes we're alone and like, why am I doing this? We're doing it for the planet. There's a consciousness that is raising right now. Do you feel it? First of all, can you believe it's the end of May? That time is accelerating. So time is accelerating, energy is accelerating, and there's a movement happening, and we're all part of it. And as each one of us makes a contribution, we raise that for everyone. So as we do this work together, then we're able to be present for those who need our help. Maybe those that need our help, maybe those who are in need, those who are suffering, those who are going through their own issues, that we can be there for others. We can know the truth for others. We can begin to speak up for others who are not able to speak up for themselves. So that every opportunity is an opportunity for us to expand into newness. So let's practice again this. I'm missing a page. Let's practice again. And I used, if you struggle with what to say in your treatment, take home one of those copies of the prayer, or actually you can download it online. You can download the prayer online. And the first five sentences, there is only one life. This life is good. This life is God. This life is my life. Now, the first four sentences are the first two steps of treatment. So let's say that. There is only one life. This life is good. This life is God. This life is my life now. And then add what you want to add. And let's say today, today I'm surrounded with love and light. I move forward with ease and grace. I give thanks that this is so. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Blessings. So let's take all this into prayer. Oh, how grateful I am for this opportunity to come together in spiritual community for this greater awakening of love, of light, of grace and wisdom. How grateful I am to know that there is only one power, one presence, one life that moves through each one of us. And that love moves through every cell, fiber, tissue, gland, organ, nerve, and bone of our bodies. Knowing that each one of us is lifted into this love, into this light, into this freedom. And that each one of us goes out in the world telling a story of love, telling a story of peace, of harmony, and of joy. And I know whatever it is that we need throughout the day, greater love, greater wisdom, a greater knowingness, if there's something that we need, I know that it is already realized. And that right now, whatever you are holding in your heart, whether it is something of joy, of peace, whatever it is, that God is there and that good is realized. I am so grateful for this blessing, for this goodness, for being in community together. I'm grateful for all of this, and I release this prayer. And together we say, and so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.